Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and it's time to talk about training camp day 3 on July 25th, Friday. Third day of camp here, a hot, blistering day in the sun, no pads again for the players. So it was a lot of fooling around football, practice football, brother-in-law football, whatever you want to call it. Three players absent: Jake Hummel, who still has a cut hand, Emory Jones, who is on the NFI list, Ardarius Washington is on PUP. I believe every other player was there. I don't quite have everybody checked off on my list, but I believe all the others were there. Yeah, it looks like I do have everybody else checked off. DeAndre Hopkins was the big return. He was out for one day with something that might have happened to his knee, just hit it or something. Apparently was nothing serious. John said it was nothing serious, and then, of course, he's back. So it's nice to have that happen. A couple of big players. One we'll talk about right away in the big kicking matchup that is going on right now that I'll let you kind of decide if we've moved a step closer to deciding the fate of the kicking matchup after today's response. But Hoyland sat out. He did not kick. Loop had the GoPro helmet on again, and he had a great day. 9 of 9, as I counted it, good from 24, 22 from the right hash, 27 from the left hash, 33 in the middle, 35 from the left hash, 40 from the middle, 41 from the left hash, 42 from the left hash. And then get this, a 63-yard field goal that cleared the bar by plenty, by the way, to finish the day of kicking. So 9 out of 9, the 63-yarders from the left hash. A lot of good things to go about this. First of all, the kicks look mostly center of net. That speaks, I wasn't standing right behind the goalpost, but it speaks to me because he was kicking from the left and the right as well. But it speaks to me that the rotation on the football is probably what they're looking for in terms of being end over end. Looking at the 63-yard kick, it's hard to make a kick that long without getting the proper rotation on the ball. I guess it can be done with, you know, kind of hooking action that some kickers kind of use on every kick, but it makes the kick much harder. In the case of Loop, the real bomb, making that, I think, had to change the likelihood that he's the next Ravens kicker. Now, it kind of depends on where you were before this. If you're at, it's 90-10 already, then I think it probably changed it by 5 full percentage points. I think we're at 95-5 all of a sudden, because despite the fact that Hoyland's been quite accurate, including yesterday, you just can't teach a big leg. And I don't think we've seen any evidence that Hoyland has that kind of leg. I've also, so far in the first 2 days of camp, it was a lot of shorter kicks until this one bomb by Loop. No one had tried even a 50-yard kick. In fact, I don't think anyone had tried a 45-yard kick. And the longest that was made was 42 or 43 on the first 2 days. They're really trying to ease the kickers into it. What else do you have to say about this? That's really the big thing is I think if you thought the chance was 50% before this kick was made, I think it just moved to like 75, 80, you know, maybe higher. But I mean, I don't think the competition is anywhere near as close as it was before he made that kick. So Hoyland may go on in the NFL and become a good kicker somewhere else, and the Ravens may even regret it. But Loop appears to have taken a very big step forward to winning the job. All right. The first thing they did, they did some things. They did some special teams, some punt return drills. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because there's four players who are doing some of the punt returning. It's exactly who you'd expect. So I'm not giving anything away here. It's Wade, Wester, Wallace, and Miller. And I have Westry here. I'm just going to correct that in my own notes. But what I'd say is that there isn't anyone right now who's displayed kind of what I'll call the Campanaro standard. Campanaro, good punt returner, probably his statistics as a punt returner are not as great as they could have been because his speed was not quite at the top rung. But what he did very well is track the football, get underneath it, and explode out of his stance. And so that's what when I'm looking to grade a return man and grade how they're doing, that's what I'm looking to look at is how did he track the ball? Did he get under? Did he put himself in a position to explode out of that? And then did he get out of it very quickly after catching the ball? Did he catch the ball without bobbling it? Is a big point of exploding out of the catch like that. So you want to put all those pieces together. And Campanaro was a player who did that very regularly. They don't have anybody right now who's doing that so far. A little bit of drifty tracking where they're sometimes catching the ball over one shoulder, but they're not, you know, looking to even go halfway to one knee. So they're in a track star stance as they catch the ball. They're just, nobody's been doing that yet. And in fact, they spent time in this practice trying to catch the ball while they're holding another ball, flip that up in the air, catch the ball, and then catch it. I there's probably some divided attention value to that. Like you have to catch the ball and also be looking at who's coming at you. So I understand like there might be something they're gaining in terms of brain activity, in terms of really trying to understand what you have to keep, the multiple things you have to keep attention of when you're fielding a punt. But I would say that it probably makes it more difficult to grade what they're actually doing as a return man when they're actively trying to get in position, throw a ball up in the air, catch it, then catch the other ball. It's a lot to do, and I think we're getting less attention paid to the punt return itself. Randy Brown was back there; he was cheering closely on all these. Then they took it a step further towards kind of ridiculous. They took a ball in each hand, and they tried to catch punts under those circumstances. And Miller, tried several times first, and the ball in each case actually might have been Wallace. Wallace didn't succeed in any way, but I think it was Miller. Tried two or three times, and each time it like basically shot right between his arms, and he was not able to collect the ball. Kind of reminded me back of seventh grade football and watching a punter kick a number of consecutive times to different potential return men. And, you know, literally at that level, it's very hard to do. And a seventh grader had a very hard time catching the football in the air. It would not be as high as 1 in 10, thinking back to that time that we're able to do it successfully. And I kind of got the impression 1 in 10 would have been a pretty reasonable number for this two ball technique. So the one guy who did make that work was Wester. He had the only success with two balls, might have been about 1 for 6 for all the guys put together. I know Miller had a couple chances, so might have been about that. Moved on, the edges did kind of an interesting drill where they read the mesh point and they tried to follow whether it was a boot or running back play. Now that's something especially other teams really need to do against the Ravens, but maybe you remember back the Atlanta game in the preseason last year. I think it's the first preseason game, and the Ravens edge defenders, the Atlanta ran 8 boots in the game, 6 of those in the first half. And 5 times the edge defender lost the quarterback on a boot play. So he wasn't racing downhill, which means the play's not pressured. It led to some good deep overs. And Atlanta made a lot of their offensive yards by doing just that. And I believe the Ravens came back and won that football game, but they didn't look good in the first half of that game doing that. And that's kind of an individual skill that the coaches might look at to say, hey, you know, we don't care that you're always in the right place relative to your teammates and know every bit of scheme that could be there. But we do care that you're able to read the boot play and get downhill on that. They really didn't do that well, but to see them practicing it is kind of interesting, because that's really the backside edge defender has a disproportionate share of responsibility on such plays to come downhill and go after that quarterback. All right. Now, I've been talking about the set and snap drill the last couple of days, because they've done it now for three consecutive days. So the first thing they do, and you know, any offensive lineman who's calling an NFL game will tell you it's the first thing you do. They'll tell you as soon as there's a fumble, by the way, on the exchange. It's the first thing you do in camp is you get in there, you make sure you can handle the exchange properly. Well, that's what they're doing. Basically, they're snapping the football, on which there were no issues directly. But there were, and you're making sure people get to the line of scrimmage quickly, which I think people, they were generally satisfied with how things were going there, getting set properly. I guess they're satisfied with that. As far as I could tell, there weren't problems with that. I'm not sure I would know 100% of the time, but I didn't see problems with that. But then during practice, in 11-on-11s alone, they had four different false start penalties. So the goal in part of this set and snap drill is to avoid pre-snap penalties. That's a point of emphasis. And that was pointed out by Ryan Mink to me as I was standing and talking to him, is that, you know, that's a point of emphasis. That's probably why they're running this drill so much. And then to have four false starts after that during the thing is not a good look, to say the least. They had an OTA practice with six false starts, but this was pretty bad. Couple stars of the day. I'll talk about both of them on defense. Nate Wiggins had a really big day. He blew up a pass from Lamar to Miller 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He was in there quickly, and the play got blown dead at that point, but he would have been in a position to make a tackle in the backfield for a loss on that play. The very next play, he and Starks converged to stop a run play left. So good to see him run and pass. He's making a contribution on each. And then he gets two plays that are why he's really with the Ravens. The first was a PD in 7-on-7 versus Bateman. 35 yards, 5 circle. Bateman had him beat on the play, by the way. So in a lot of senses, maybe that's not a great Nate Wiggins play. You know, he got beat by Bateman, which means Bateman sold him some snake oil at the top of the route and was able to get deep on him. Bateman's a very good route runner, and Wiggins bit on something. And then he was behind, but the ball was a little underthrown. He caught up, and he got his hand on the football. So it did all the things that you want a cornerback with really great makeup speed to do. Ball was a little underthrown, but it's still, hey, he found the football in the air and knocked it down. So good play by Wiggins there. Others have reported that he had another PD. I missed it in my notes. Now, that doesn't mean I caught it. I might have been, you know, yakking with somebody on the sideline there, and I might have missed it. But I did not catch it. And Jeff Z said there was a seatbelt celebration afterwards that went on. That's known, Jaire Alexander is known for. But anyway, big day from Wiggins, any way you look at it. JAD had another couple of nice plays. Keaton Mitchell was shut down at the line of scrimmage, and JAD was over there to do it. And he also had a pressure off the offensive right side to force a grounded pass. He did have a negative comment that we'll get to a little later on defense in the secondary, where he's beaten. And he was also blocked effectively by Dayton Wade on a play. So it wasn't an all perfect day or anything, but want to see, you know, JAD make some contributions if a move to safety is still in the future. By the way, I have no indication that that is the case. No indication that that is the case. The Ravens haven't been using anybody that we haven't seen so far at safety. So I think that they, you know, it may be a while. It may not happen at all that he gets a chance. Right now it looks like he's playing corner. Okay, let's get on to the other stuff, the other highlights. And it's a long list of individual, primarily 11-on-11 highlights that I'll get to, and I will go through this. So Justice Hill exploded a nice block from Daniel Faalele on a run middle. So nice to see Daniel get a good block, but also nice to see Justice Hill know how to exploit that and break away into level two before the first contact was made. Jackson overthrew Andrews 15 yards, 3 circle. Okay, 3 circle, that's between the hash marks. I'll try and talk in that terminology rather than my shorthand here. But that was an unfortunate play. Jackson had gotten open, had broken clear crossing, and was missed. Adisa Isaac had a nice pressure versus Joe Noteboom to force Cooper Rush into a short pass left. That's second best to getting it grounded or getting it fumbled or whatever it might have been. But that it was good pressure. Good to see Isaac get a pressure. David Ajabo backed up Carson Vincent to blow up a run by Keaton Mitchell. So one of the few things that Mitchell did not do well on the day, and it wasn't really his fault, obviously, but Ajabo made a nice play to get Vincent backed up. Dayton Wade had a nice block on JAD. I mentioned that earlier on a wide receiver screen left. Jair Alexander had a wide receiver screen left, covered extremely effectively. He was in these in behind the line of scrimmage, and Cooper Rush was forced to ground the ball. So always nice to be able to see that. That was during a sequence during the practice where the Ravens ran a number of consecutive wide receiver screens, and something kind of just in the back of my head tells me that Alexander kind of knew maybe another one was coming, and that's why his position was so good on the play. But regardless, it's a good play by Alexander, and forcing Rush to ground the ball is always a positive. Jackson completed a couple of nice passes in a row to Rashad Bateman. The first one was over the middle crossing for 15 yards between the hashes. There was a flag thrown. We think it might have been an offsides. There was one offsides and four false starts called in the practice. So we were talking about it a little bit. I think that was the offsides. Bateman then beat Wiggins on a crossing route 10 yards between the hashes on what looked like it would have been a big play. So Rashad Bateman also, you know, in a way was a star in this one. I think if you look at the Wiggins pass defense against him, the fact that he got behind Wiggins, then he had to really sell something, and that's a positive in Bateman's column. And unfortunately, the ball wasn't on target in that case. Rush completed a 15-yard pass to Miller. It was behind JAD and in front of Tampa. It was a zone play, so it's not one where I really blame it on JAD terribly much, but it was behind him and in front of Tampa on the left sideline. Derrick Henry had a couple of consecutive runs, and usually you can't tell much from running backs, and one of several things has to happen to really get a sense of how well they're playing. They either really have to show good field vision so the first touches are well in a level two, or they have to show tremendous speed where they get outside of the defense. And in these cases, it was a really good-looking reads by Henry to find the right hole, burst into level two, and in both cases, I think well into level two before the first contact occurred. So always great to see that from Derek. And we know level two first contact from Derek is usually going to be a very, very positive result for the Ravens. That is something he got last year in Baltimore plenty. He didn't get it a lot in the previous year in Tennessee. You don't like to see plays blown dead on a pre-snap basis, but the Ravens were trying something that looked a little different. They had to get Wade repositioned to the left side of the formation, and Lamar found himself having to do that. He appeared to be kind of frustrated in the play. Play got blown dead. And they didn't get to show us what they were actually doing. They did line up similarly again on the next play. I'm not going to talk about what it was because I think that gets into some tactical things. But I'm happy to see some of the things they're trying in camp on a we'll call it a trick play basis that kind of looked nice, or just different formations maybe is a better way to say it. Humphrey had a pass defense in coverage of Likely 10 yards along the right sideline. Jackson rolled right and then took off for a 10-yard run. Lamar has not done that as often, certainly as he did as a rookie in 2018. He really looks to hang in there and pass in practice, but he will take off. And if he sees an opportunity, he'll do it, not as often as he would in a game, but he will do it. Rush had a pass tipped at the line of scrimmage. Unfortunately, there wasn't really anybody celebrating, so I couldn't tell who did it, but it was some of the second teamers were in at that point. Cooper Rush is a quarterback, so you know that's probably true in terms of the defense. And I didn't catch who had the pass defense. Longer beam and the inside linebacker Kwenku contained Mitchell on a swing pass left. That's been very hard to do in these 3 days. Mitchell's really looked great, but those two guys were in and contained him on a swing pass to the left side. It wasn't a wide receiver screen. It's just two guys able to get downhill and be in position to make a play. Isaiah Likely has looked great pretty much every day, but he made another one-handed grab, this time with his left hand, 10 or 15 yards downfield, and you know, reaching back for the football, I believe, as he's moving then from right to left. It's been extremely impressive in terms of what he's done in camp so far. And I think the Ravens will be find themselves fortunate to get that contract situation resolved before the season begins, rather than wait and let Likely play it off and be the kind of player he appears like he might be. Let's see. Jackson threw a 20-yard completion to Hopkins, on which DeAndre got up and made some nice yak. DeAndre didn't have a lot of targets today, so that was nice to see him make a play on that ball. And not only make a play where he had to go down to get the ball, but get up and keep going. Really nice to see veteran players who are playing hard in camp and will set the ball in motion for younger players to follow their lead. So that's good stuff. I've mentioned a number of times how I want DeAndre to be a very impressive run blocker and lead in that way, but it's good to see that. Marquise Robinson, the reason you might know that name is that he's had some of the fastest recorded speeds at practice so far, at least during OTAs. But he muscled Jamal Banks off the ball 35 yards down the right sideline to disrupt the pass. Banks did not have much in terms of separation, and Marquise Robinson kind of leaned into him, and the ball was incomplete. It might have been too close to the sidelines and out of bounds anyway, but it was a good play by Robinson in terms of covering Banks. After a fake, Jackson ran right for a 10-yard gain. I won't talk about exactly what that fake looked like, but I'll say I'd love to see that play during the regular season. So we've seen the Ravens try some cool stuff. Monken's not going with the same old playbook, I'd say. We've seen some good stuff. Rasheen Ali found space on the left edge for a big run. It's good to see that getting spread out. If I would say something I'm not really happy about the defense so far, is they don't seem to be stretching out running backs on the edge as effectively as they might this time of year, and as effectively as they need to when the regular season begins. They've been kind of vulnerable to edge runs. And there's some feast or famine component to it, because they've had some good stops on edge runs, but they've had some others that look like they've gone for pretty darn good yardage. Back to Isaiah Likely, who had a nice sliding grab in front of Hamilton for a gain of 10 yards.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
It's approximately just another in a long line of likely successes. Mitchell had an electric run. Started up the middle, sharp cut to his right, did not appear to be touched, and ran for a touchdown. I mean, it's just one of those runs that really sticks in your mind. Once again, I can't tell a lot from running backs, but I do want to see him read the hole properly, maybe get to the edge. In this case, not being touched for an extended period is a very good thing, because there are guys who are trying to get in position, trying to touch him. And Mitchell just looks too darn quick for this defense a lot of the time. And that is a great thing to say. There is something that's going on here as well. Mitchell is playing against some of the twos, because Henry and Hill probably get more reps with the ones, but also Mitchell has played a lot of total reps. I think he's very clearly ahead of Ali for the third running back spot. I know one depth chart I saw recently had Ali as the third running back and Keaton Mitchell as a practice squad player. That's obviously ridiculous. But I think Keaton Mitchell is clearly at least the third back, and he might be the second back on this team right now. It looks like they're trying to utilize him in a number of different ways to take advantage of his speed in space. And I just could not be more happy with that development, is how I'd say. I think I want less of Zay Flowers doing that and more of Keaton and Wester doing that. And this offense will really be something to contend with as the season goes on. Moving on, Adafe Owe beat Ronnie Stanley for a pressure. That was nice. Jackson threw a crossing route to Zay Flowers, who beat Humphrey. That looked like it went for a big play. Aeneas Peebles had a pass defense at the line of scrimmage versus Cooper Rush. So the first one wasn't necessarily obvious who did it, but this one was. And Peebles had a pressure and a pass defense. It's not like he's doing nothing, but he's not really getting a chance to play real hard physical football yet and try and beat his opposing number in the way he will come joint practices, the preseason games, and even the padded practices. He should be trying hard, and they should be eliminating a lot of the brother-in-law play. Rush had a nice 5+10 completion of Mitchell near the right sideline. Mitchell just looks very good after the catch and was one of the stars today. And then Wester dropped a 15-yard pass between the numbers in the left hash that was well thrown, an up-and-down ball by Rush that it went over a linebacker's head, I believe, but it might have been underneath cover guy in zone, and then was properly placed for Wester to catch the ball. It looked like the ball got through his hands into his body and bounced off. So unfortunate drop there, hopefully that's not the last we see of him. We get to the podium. We had several players, pretty good lineup so far at the podium. We really had some of the star players, good rookies. You know, it's been a combination of outstanding things. There seems to be a favorite developing among podium time people, and I'll get to that in a moment. But John Harbaugh, much more positive day yesterday. I mentioned he's kind of surly. Questions got asked that he clearly didn't like, some questions that he might thought were stupid, might have still been coming off. A question that he didn't like about visiting Trump on the previous day. But in any case, he was of a mind to answer questions again today. The questions were generally softballs. He was very positive about Keaton Mitchell. He looked forward to the first day of padded practice on Monday. Had some interesting things to say about that. He said that it's becoming more like real football when they do that. Still can't do all the things they would in a game, but because they have rules of practice, and they'll even have those when they get together for a combined practice with the Colts and then with the Commanders later on. But, is looking forward to that first padded practice. We got one more to get through tomorrow, then an off day for the players. And those padded practices typically take place the day after a day off to give the players time to be ready and recovered for a high exertion, more physical day. And they get right back to practicing the next day. So it's not – that day will be a day with a few bumps and bruises, I'm sure. He said at the end of Monday's practice, he may allow rookies to tackle. They need experience to do so before the first preseason game. Listen to the interview. I think I've got that exactly correct. But it's the kind of thing that I don't want to – I paraphrase everything. I don't try and get exact quotes. But the Ravens post the interviews, and they're good. They have good information. They probably include something that I'm not including here that you might find interesting. But they may allow the rookies to, in the last segment, to do some tackling. And when I say rookies, younger players, backups, those kind of guys, the guys who will be really having to play hard in that first preseason game to make sure they win a job. Marlon Humphrey, he specifically called out Marlon Humphrey for setting a high standard of leadership, of expectation. That went along with some questions about the Breakfast Club weightlifting from yesterday that Marlon talked about. You know, they want to be there at 6 a.m. to start. And John Harbaugh also happens to lift at 6 a.m. So, you know, he said that, you know, if you get there early like that, then you give yourself a little bit extra time to get breakfast and you get prepared for the day. It's incredible to me that the Bengals don't even offer breakfast on some days, that they offer only two meals. And think about what you're missing out on. You're missing out on Breakfast Club weightlifting. You're asking your players, go to McDonald's, pick up a couple of sausage McPatty and McRibs or whatever the fuck they're selling now, and eat those, and then come and practice, and then your first meal will be lunch. I can't imagine the savings is worth that kind of thing, but that's that's life with the Cincinnati Bengals anyway. Kyle Hamilton next at the podium. Malachi Starks is way ahead of where he was at the same time. That's basically his quote about Starks, who was coming up a little later in the interview session. And there were some problems that Hamilton had as a rookie that we're well aware of, that Miami game. And he bears a share of the blame in terms of losing that football game by not being on the right place on one of the long touchdown passes to Tyreek Hill in that fourth quarter. But anyway, he had very positive things to say about Malachi Starks. He says Jair Alexander brings some much-needed eccentricity to the secondary. He pointed out himself as being kind of a laid-back, stoic kind of character, and that Marlon and Jair are the opposite way. And I think I got the sense Jair is more extreme, although Marlon certainly is pretty far out there when he's talking about getting 100 Ben Clevelands together to beat a gorilla. For example, it's the Ravens encourage that to a sense with those little segments they do, you know, like what's in the box or try to identify countries on a map or those sorts of things that they do with the players. Those are cool. Those are really neat things to do. I think people, I laugh out loud when I watch them. I wish they would do more of them. But certainly this is an organization. You want to be known as an organization that can deal with big personalities. And I think the Ravens have a good record of doing it. Jimmy Smith was a fairly big personality. Now there is some over the top, and you don't want the big personality component to be laziness. That's the Earl Thomas method. You don't want that. But you do, you know, want to be able to have your great players be also a little eccentric and have other players learn to deal with a broad variety of eccentricities and flavors of ice cream, basically, in other people. Kyle Hamilton was asked, what does it mean for the defense to be feared? That was one of the things that's brought up recently. I think it might've been Humphrey in a previous interview talked about how they wanted the defense to be feared. Might've been Roquan. I could have it wrong, but he said, the acid test, and he didn't say use the word acid test, would be to be like 2000. I'm thinking about this. He wasn't alive in 2000. I was tempted to say follow up for you on that. You know, how much film have you watched of the 2000 Ravens? He probably has watched a fair amount. My guess is there's a lot around the building, and there might have been stuff online, and he might have just wanted to know when he first came to the Ravens. You know, what am I dealing with historically with this franchise? But I don't think he probably has the every game, kind of every play review of the film. I don't think he's gone over that with, say, Rod Woodson or something. If he had, by the way, that would be one great show to do. So Kyle or Rod, if you're hearing this and you want to make that happen, you guys get together and talk about the 2000 secondary playing together on some plays. I think that'd be very cool. But anyway, that's what he said. They want to be like 2000. They're a long way away from that, he also said. Tyler Linderbaum was next at the podium. He was asked about his role in cross-training other centers. And he said, it really just takes reps. And you can listen to the thing, but he's basically avoiding the question. I think if I were Tyler Linderbaum, I would take it as not my job to train my replacement And particularly when I'm in the middle of contract negotiations, or might be in the middle of contract negotiations, we don't actually know that that's true, where that would keep me in Baltimore, and outstanding play from another player might make them an 80-20 candidate to be 80% of the player at 20% of the price. That's the last thing that Tyler Linderbaum would want. So you remember back to the waning days of Joe Flacco, he talked about not really wanting to be a mentor. I think Linderbaum pretty much, if he had to put in words, he'd probably say he wants to lead by example. And I don't think he has a personal interest in trying to see that the right guy is available in a backup role. But anyway, that's my interpretation of it. Listen to the thing if you want to draw a different one. He says he keeps his goals for improvement to himself, but he has them. So not sure what that is. Could be anchoring against bigger men. Could be a lot of things. Pick up stunts or blitz as well. Could be, you know, run blocking under certain conditions. He's got some things to work on. Like every offensive lineman, they're not good at every single aspect of their game. And it's good. To have goals is a good thing no matter how good you already are. He said Daniel Faalele has looked awesome, and he's really accepted the challenge to be great. He's had to accept it, and he's done a good job, you know, taking that on. It sounds like I would say the entire building is fairly positive on Faalele as of right now. And we saw some great video from Brandon Thorne of him getting offensive line training from one of the major OL camps. It's Duke somebody, and I'm forgetting what the guy's last name is. But to do that with your offseason time, he does that at his own expense. That's exactly what he should be doing. He should be trying to pick up. He's a huge dude. He's been very focused on getting his body right, but he's coming into a contract year. This is a very key time to learn the position skills that could be the difference of tens of millions of dollars if he has a breakout Pro Bowl year, as opposed to he just has a year like last year. And he wasn't bad at the end of last year, not by any sense. And he was a Pro Bowl alternate at some level, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really being selected as a Pro Bowl player. That could happen, you know, to a player like Daniel Faalele with the right amount of training and nose to the grindstone. He's apparently a very dedicated, committed player, and yet that kind of is in sharp contrast to some of the things that you can see on field that he doesn't do well, but he could do well. So I don't think he's ever going to be a good guy for pulling to rebalance an unbalanced line on a pass play. So oftentimes you'll line up one guy to the left of center and three guys to the right of center, unbalanced, and then you turn that into a pass play by having your right guard pull left. That is the wrong assignment for Daniel Faalele. And we saw him miss pulls on a couple of those plays. I think it was against the Steelers. Might have been Hightower or Herbig that was over there on that side of the play, and they were just too quick for him. You know, the coaches need to find ways to not put him in those kind of bad positions. But then there's other places where Daniel Faalele has things he can improve on, and he might not be doing it. He needs to finish more blocks. He needs to get his opponent on the ground. He needs to use his arms better. He needs to use his length better. He needs, even though he's been a pretty effective pass blocker, and he could be a lot better. And much of that is probably going to come from an ability to punch and at least have a change of pace, have, you know, three or four different pitches he can select from as he's trying to pass block. So I look forward to that, and I think Daniel is showing the indications of wanting to be a great player, and that is something I think that Ravens fans can be pretty excited about. I know he's a polarizing figure. I'm very high on how he finished last year, but I'm probably just as high, and probably 65% as high on his activities during the offseason. I think the players who basically treat this as a 52-week job, or even just a 50-week job where they take 2 weeks off after the season, that's fine. But then they're right back in the weight room. They live in Baltimore. They stay here. They lift here. They're in the building. They go away for 2 weeks or 3 weeks to learn some specific offensive line position drills. That's time well spent. But I think that I can't say enough about the full-year players. And you know, in some cases, we're looking for Lamar Jackson to have a couple of workouts with receivers. Daniel Faalele is, you know, if he's here practicing 6 days a week for basically 50 weeks a year, That's going to help him achieve his goals, even if he's somewhat constrained in terms of what the top end of his some elements of his play will ever be. Okay, what else do we have? He talked a little bit about Warhop and Joe D, both loving football. He was asked about the contract situations for many players. Good question from Jeff Z, including him. I don't think he really gave anything back on that question. At least I didn't record it. So if you have interest, go and listen to the interview itself. Kyle Hamilton, by the way, asked the same question by Jeff Z in terms of where he was. And Kyle did a better job of basically saying, look, I don't want to speak for everyone. Everybody's situation is unique. But I get the sense Kyle's not worried at all about being signed. If he had to play under the franchise tag next year, then that might just be the way that works out. He's playing under the fifth year option currently. That's not true. He's playing his fourth year now. He has the fifth year option next year. So the Ravens are not incented to rush this process other than they want to try and get him signed for the best possible value. So I don't get the sense anyway that he's concerned about that. Okay, Malachi Starks, last one at the podium. First thing he said is they thought Kyle Hamilton was being very generous with his praise of him being miles ahead. So the question got asked, of course, directly right back to him. Starks, he's the one I'm talking about being kind of a fan, team, and maybe reporter favorite being at the microphone. We saw him in the rookie camp. Obviously, he was there when he was drafted as well. So he's been, this might be his third time at the podium. May even be his fourth because he may have had a separate one during OTAs, not just during rookie minicamp where he was also there. But in any case, very easy to see why the Ravens love this guy from the interviews, why they loved him from that. He gives every impression of being a very thoughtful and studious player. I think he's a lot like Kyle Hamilton in that regard. Hamilton's obviously very intelligent. And I think that Starks is apparently also quite intelligent. And he says that he excels in meeting and learning because he's comfortable asking questions. And that's exactly what is required. It's something that can be very hard for people, whether in a high school environment. A lot of times people just don't want to let on what they don't know. And that's why your teacher will tell you, there aren't any stupid questions, just stupid students. And that really gets that message across. Yeah. But anyway, it looks like Malachi Starks is well along the way. He had some good plays today. Obviously had an interception on a kind of a, almost a blown dead play yesterday. It was kind of a weird play, but still, hey, he was in the right place to catch the football and that deserves something. He was asked about his personality and where he fits on the scale of, I'll call it, Hamilton to Alexander. So Hamilton and Alexander are probably the extreme cases. Marlon Humphrey is somewhere towards Alexander on that scale. He says he thought he was somewhere in the middle between Kyle and Jair and Marlon, but definitely a guy who's very comfortable with who he is. And it's easy to see why the PR team also loves to have a player like that at the podium. A guy like that is not going to make a mistake. He's not going to give anything away he shouldn't. He's not going to say something about the organization he shouldn't. We've had some things said at the podium these last 3 days. I'm not going to get into the specifics of who. You listen to the interviews. You tell me who you think stepped out of line in terms of that. But maybe if I want to put the soft one is Harbaugh's surliness yesterday, just going overboard kind of in terms of not responding well to any questions after he gets a question about one score games, or maybe it was the Trump question before that, whatever the case. I say that's the soft way, but we had another hard one. Take a look at it. Look at all 3 days. If you think you can figure out who's the player who said some things he probably shouldn't have. So anyway, Malachi Starks, I think the PR team loves who he is. And I know the reporters and the Ravens fans love him. So, I'm definitely warming to the pick. Will he be a great player in the first year? He could be. And wouldn't that be great if he was? And maybe a lot of what didn't go well in Georgia in year three was about him being played out of position because that's where Georgia needed him kind of thing. But in any case, whatever the reason, I'm happy that Malachi Starks is a Raven and very impressed with who he is at the podium. That's going to have to do it for today. I have notes like this every day. So tomorrow there'll be notes on Saturday's practice, which will again be not padded, and out there at the facility in the afternoon. And probably the notes will be posted by the evening, I would say. And I'll try and promo them. If you want to do something nice for the show, please talk to that person who hasn't heard of Film Study yet. Tell them about the camp notes here and the value that they provide. And I hope I'm giving you a little bit more information than you typically get from your typical camp review, because I'm trying to give you some analysis with it, but I'm also trying to report maybe more of the smaller things that happened during a day at camp. Anyway, we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.